The rest of us, let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Thought I'd teach a lesson on the entire Bible. No, I'm kidding. That would take a little while, eh? Interesting study we decided to come up with this time. One that, honestly, I've never done before. I'm a little bit nervous about because it's not really so much as a Bible study. And I thought, should we even do it, Lord? But honestly, it will benefit us to be a witness. And to me, that is the greatest or the best reason to do it. And we're looking at common English phrases and sayings that come from the King James Bible. We've had the Bible for 400 years now, praise God. God gave it to us in 1611. And the English language has been influenced by it more than most people realize. And what's fascinating is how many people in the world say things that come from the King James Bible, but they don't realize they're doing it. And that's how it's a witnessing tool, because now when we're at work and somebody says something, we can say, hey, did you know that came from the Bible? And hopefully it can open the door to talk more about God's Word, talk more about the Lord. So what we're going to do is we're just going to walk through them from Genesis to Revelation, looking at about 400 English sayings and phrases and words that the world uses, but that come from the King James Bible. I thought there'd be about 100 when I started this. There could end up being about 500 by the time we're finished. But we're just going to read the scriptures, make sure we all know the phrase of the word that we recognize. Maybe we don't recognize it, but and it'll stick it into our database in our brain, and then we can use it in the future. Amen? So, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, there's the first one. We've all heard people use that phrase over and over again. It came from the King James Bible. Isn't that beautiful? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So that phrase, in the beginning, very common phrase. And so what I'm going to do, we'll pray. We're going to pass out scriptures to those willing to read, and then just see how far we get each Sunday. I'm hoping today maybe we'll get through the Pentateuch. We'll see. Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom. And I pray, Lord, you'll use this unique study to help us not only more appreciate the word that you've given us in this King James Bible, but also, Lord, to recognize that your word has influenced the entire world. And for that, we just are in awe and praise you. And pray now, Lord, that these things would help us, again, to be a witness and a testimony to the world that they might find Christ. So we give you the time. May you be glorified through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so I'm going to pass out scriptures to those willing to read. I'm going to start with Howard, Genesis 1:22. Philip, Genesis 2:7. Any other readers on this section? No? All right. Here in the middle section, I know Roy, Genesis 2:9. Mark Zeus, Genesis 2:15. All right, who else in here is willing to read? Raise your hand. Maggie, thank you. Genesis 2:16 and 17. Others? James, Genesis 2:24. We'll be in Genesis for a while, can you tell? Others willing to read in this section? No? All right, over here. Brad, Genesis 3:16, Kelvin, Genesis 3:19, and Jackie, Genesis 3:20. That's enough to get us started. Amen. The first three chapters of Genesis. Howard, 1:22.
And God blessed him, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let the fowl multiply in the earth.
So there's the phrase, be fruitful and multiply. The world uses that all the time and has for hundreds of years. Genesis 2:7, Phil.
And the Lord God formed him out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul.
The breath of life, a very common phrase used by the world. Genesis 2:9.
And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and this was fruit, the tree of life, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
So tree of life and tree of knowledge, both of those phrases the world uses. And then Genesis 2:15. Who was that?
And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it.
The Garden of Eden, another very common phrase used by the world. So that's just up to Genesis 2:15. They don't even realize it a lot of times that it comes from the Bible, but it does. Genesis 2:16 and 17. Now, this isn't actually a phrase, but it's a saying, as you'll see. So Genesis 2:16, 17, Maggie.
And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die."
So anybody ever heard the phrase forbidden fruit? The world uses that all the time, don't they? To refer to something that we shouldn't have, right? Comes from the Bible. The forbidden fruit was the fruit that Adam and Eve were forbidden to partake of. Now, I didn't pass out the next scripture, but also in Genesis 2, where did God make Eve from? Or what did he make Eve from? Adam's rib. Another common phrase of the world uses, Adam's rib. And then here in Genesis 2:24, was that you, Brad? Was it? Who was Genesis 2:24? James.
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
One flesh. Very common phrase used by the world. And then Genesis 3:16. All the leaders are saying, which one is this one? It's actually the phrase, bring forth. Bring forth. Very common phrase used by the world. Genesis 3:19.
In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. But out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return.
So this one has, the first phrase is the sweat of his face. The world typically says the sweat of his brow or the sweat of your brow, but this is where that phrase comes from. It's talking about working and working hard and sweating. It came from the Bible. Amen. But also, notice it says, out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. There's a very common phrase given in worldly funerals, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That phrase is not in the Bible, but if you go to Genesis 18:27, we see where it came from. And this is Abraham speaking, and he answered and said, "Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes." So there's where the phrase comes from. Dust and ashes, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, and so forth. It comes from Abraham saying to God, "I'm just dust and ashes." And then in Genesis 3:20, did I give that one out, Jackie?
And Adam called his wife named Eve because she was the mother of the
serpent. Adam and Eve. We've all heard that phrase many, many times. And that came from the Bible. Genesis 3:22, the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life." So the tree of life is another phrase that the world uses quite commonly. Well, we'll start over, Brother Scott, Genesis 4:9, Howard 4:14, Philip 4:15, and Roy 4:19, and Mark 6:1, and James 5:27, Maggie 6:13. We'll just stop there and carry on later. So go ahead, Brother Scott. Genesis 4:9. You'll all recognize this one.
"And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?
Am I my brother's keeper?" The world uses that phrase all the time, don't they? Comes from the Bible. Amen. 4:14. Howard.
"Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me."
That phrase, "come to pass," came from the King James Bible. It's beautiful, isn't it? Philip 4:15, the next verse.
"Set him upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him."
Now, we don't know what this mark was, but it's some God put some sort of a mark on Cain to protect him from other people killing him. But the mark of Cain is another phrase that the world commonly uses. And then not all phrases are used the way the Bible meant for them to be used. Okay? And here's an example of that here in 4:16. Is that yours, Roy? Now, east of Eden, common phrase used by the world, but the world also talks about the land of Nod, talking about going to sleep, right? There was a literal place called Nod, but it came from the King James Bible when people say, oh, I'm going to go to the land of Nod. what do they mean, I'm going to go take a nap. So, again, not all the phrases are used as they were meant to be used, but they still came, the English phrase still came from the King James Bible. And then Genesis 6:1.
And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born under
them. On the face of the earth, another phrase used commonly by the world, on the face of the earth. And then 5:27, was that yours, James?
In all the days of Methuselah were 969 years.
Anybody ever heard the phrase as old as Methuselah? My wife even uses that one. This is where it came from because he lived the longest of any person in the Bible, 969 years. So it's a common phrase, as old as Methuselah. Well, thankfully, nobody in our church is that old, but it's a very common phrase. Is that all I've given out so far? Good. Any questions up to Genesis 5? Comments? Observations, frustrations, anything. Kelvin.
Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, how do we know that came just from the Bible? Because you'd think that in the beginning could be quite a common thing for a person just to string together. I understand ones like older than Methuselah because it's naming somebody that only from the Bible, but in the beginning, how do we know that's just from the Bible?
Well, we can't prove it, but it has to do with age. Remember, the King James has been in publication for the common man for over 400 years now. So if we look in English literature and we see the phrase in the beginning and it was published after 1611, then we can safely say, well, the King James came first. That's all we can say. But you can't prove it because we don't have the capability to look at all the English language over the entire world and make those proofs. So it has to do with age. That's it. Tracy?
So English language is so young. You think it's an old language, but it's not. The way we use it is so young.
In comparison to other languages of the world, it is not an old language. And when the King James came out, English had not been around as long as many other languages had. So especially in 1611, it was a young language. And For centuries, many people, one of their main textbooks in school was the King James Bible. That's how a lot of people, I think it was Matthew, we were at the preaching workshop, and he said that when he grew up in South Africa, that one of his textbooks in school was the King James, because English wasn't his first language, and they used the King James to learn English. Isn't that beautiful? It wasn't that it was a spiritual thing. It's just that it was the most published book in the history of mankind. So what better book to use than to teach kids English than the King James Bible? So any other thoughts or observations, questions before we move on? Mark?
It's interesting how these things can come out with symbols as well. Just like the forbidden fruit you're talking about. You look at the apple symbol on your iPhone. It's basically
yeah, so true. Yes, that's a good one. Although we don't know it was an apple, but the world thinks it was an apple, right? Because, you know, I do like my iPhone, but I'm no. But it's a good point. There are, and when those things come up, bring them up. When a symbol comes to mind, it's a good point. The apple with the chunk taken out of it, that's where it came from. Because it ties back to the knowledge of good and evil, right? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, implying that if you buy one of our products, and Apple's been around a long time now, you'll gain more knowledge. So, yeah, that wasn't a mistake. They knew what they were doing. Yes, brother. Yeah, see, this is a Bible class. You're not going to draw me into that one in a Bible class. All right. So in Genesis 6, we won't look at any scripture specifically, but the phrase Noah's Ark. Amen? Used all the time. Heavy rains. Uh-oh, we better get out Noah's Ark. It's just a common phrase used of the world from Genesis chapter 6. Also, Genesis chapter 8. Again, not a specific scripture, but the dove and the olive branch. Another common phrase used in the world. And that's where did it come from? Came from the dove who brought the olive branch back to the ark as the waters of the earth were receding. And then in Genesis 8:19, how far did I make it? To James, right? So, Kelvin, read Genesis 8:19 for us. So that phrase, out of the ark, also used by the world, came from the King James Bible. So in Genesis 11, we don't need to look at the whole passage, but we've all heard people use the phrase Tower of Babel. What does Tower of Babel represent? It represents man believing that he has within himself the power and the capability to grow and go forth and do things without God's help. That's really what it represents. And so the phrase obviously comes from the literal Tower of Babel in Genesis 11. But again, the world uses it to represent man's accomplishments. Man is greater than God, essentially, because most people don't want there to believe there is a God. And then Genesis 18:1. So Brad, read that for us. And Jackie, I'll give you Genesis 18:20. Any more readers over on this side? Okay, we'll stop there. So Genesis 18:1.
And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the heat of the day.
In the heat of the day. We've all heard that phrase, haven't we? Well, it was in the King James 400 years ago. Mm-hmm. Amen. Genesis 18:20. Roy, would you mind closing my door? Thanks. Sodom and Gomorrah. Everyone's heard that phrase. Representing what? God's judgment upon the wickedness of man. It's just a common phrase that everyone knows. They might not even know exactly what it represents. But for years, in most Western societies' laws, there was a law against what's called sodomy. Wonder where that came from. It came from the city of Sodom. Isn't that fascinating? The King James Bible. So Sodom and Gomorrah. All right, we'll start over here. Genesis 19:26, Brother Scott. And Genesis 21:32, Howard. 24:3, Philip. 25:31, Roy. And 37:3, Mark. And James 38:10, Maggie 38:24. We'll stop there. So, Brother Scott.
But his wife looked at from behind him, and she had a pillar of salt.
Pillar of salt. The world uses that phrase. We know where it came from. They may not, but they definitely use the phrase. 21:32, Howard.
Thus they made a covenant with Bathsheba, where she was in a thin.
Abimelech. That's all right. Just read the last word of the verse. So the word Philistine or Philistines, the world uses the word. When they use it, what are they talking about? Basically a heathen, right? He's a heathen. He's a Philistine. Came from the Bible. Came from the literal Philistines that David fought. Goliath was a Philistine. All right, 24:3, Philip. So the phrase, the God of heaven and earth, is from this verse. The God of heaven and earth. And then 25:31, Roy. Sell your birthright. Another common phrase. Came from the story of Jacob and Esau that we're all familiar with. And then 37:3. Coat of many colors, another very common phrase. It can represent a lot of different things in the world. They can be talking about the coat itself or the fabrics, or they might be talking about parental favoritism. But the world does use the phrase coat of many colors. And then 38:10, did I give that to you, James?
And the thing which he did displeased of the Lord, wherefore he slew him also.
Wow, I must have given you the wrong reference. 38:10? All right. I must have put the wrong reference. So I'm talking about Jacob's ladder. The world uses that phrase too, don't they? And I thought that came from Genesis 38, but maybe I put down the wrong reference. Is Jacob's ladder in 38? Well, it's in Genesis somewhere, okay? And we're all familiar with the story that Jacob had a dream, and in his dream he saw a ladder going up to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending. Jesus then, in John chapter 4, I think it is, refers back to that ladder and basically claims to be the ladder himself. Michael? Yes, it is. And it came from this phrase. Exactly. Where is it? Oh, it's 28. So I just had a number misplaced. Yep, so 28:10 I gave him, but it's actually 28:12. He dreamed a dream. Behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. So Jacob's ladder, or a ladder to heaven. And again, Jesus refers back to it in John and claims to be it himself, which he is. There's only one ladder or staircase to heaven, amen, and that is Jesus Christ. The phrase, yes. Maybe. It's probably, if you trace it back, who knows? It's very possible. All right, Genesis 38:24. Where did I stop? Okay. Did I give her one and she left? I gave her that one? Michael, you read it for us, 38:24. Played the harlot. Very common phrase used in the world. Came from the King James Bible. Played the harlot. All right. Genesis 41:38. Kelvin, if you'd read that for us. Genesis 45:18, Brad. Jackie will give you the last one, 47:30, and that'll be Genesis. So Kelvin 41:38. So the phrase, such a one, it looked such a one, very common. came from the Bible. 45:18. The fat of the land, another common phrase, talking about, you know, the crops or whatever that comes from the land, the fat of the land, came from the Bible. And then 47:30.
But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out to Egypt, and bury me in the Aramean place. And he said, I will do what thou hast said.
Lie with my fathers. Talking about heritage, talking about maybe where you want to be buried, but the phrase came from the Bible. So thoughts, questions, observations before we leave Genesis. That's just Genesis. Yes, Rachel. Babel means confusion. Yep. And God there, because man had come together and there was only one language at that point, and God is the one who created the confusion of languages, if you will. Yes?
It's interesting that at one point in time, however far back in history it was, that the way people spoke was in a spiritual way. They spoke quoting the scripture, you know, speaking to each other, for Stephen to be, you know, carried on now. But at one point, people were speaking straight from the Bible to each other.
Yeah. Exactly. We're going to find at least 400 phrases that came from the Bible. That's a lot of phrases.
Now, can we make one of these, the dove and
the dove and the olive branch?
Relate it from the green piece.
Yes. It's one of their logos, isn't it? Yep. It shows a dove with an olive branch in its mouth, doesn't it? Yep.
It also shows how well they knew the Bible, because a lot of those phrases aren't from commonly read portions of Scripture.
That's right. Yep. And at the UN, you've got, well, don't want to jump ahead.
And according to the wisest king, Solomon, there's no new upon the earth, under the sun of the earth. Mm-hmm. And so we have this sodomy, and it transcends, it evolves through this LGBTQ now. So there's no new. Mm-hmm.
That's right. And that's one of the sayings we'll look at in Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. Mark?
Yeah, I mean, you talk about religion or Christianity, but like the flood and that, a lot of the stories that dispersed, like in their culture, like in the Chinese and the early, a lot of their paintings have a tree with an apple or fruit.
Yes.
And two people in circles, so that sort of history that a lot of cultures have, you know, boats and animals and so forth. Nothing to do with our Western religion or Jewish religion as such, but in their own culture, because those stories have been passed down.
That's right.
To their generations.
And Paul said himself in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, that before he died, that the gospel had gone around the whole earth. I mean, most people believe that Thomas went to India, right, Akshay?
Yeah.
What town was it?
I think South Lake Kerala.
Apparently once a year they bring his entombed body out. They believe it was Thomas the Apostle. Yes, Claire.
Most of the names even in Genesis are still baby names today?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Christians obviously use Bible names a lot, but the world does too. They may not realize it, but they do. yeah, so that's good. Exodus, then. We'll do a couple in there and be finished. Move on next week. I was curious how much we would get done in a week. We've done about 40, so that means it'll take us about 10 weeks. That's okay. Exodus 20, chapter 2, sorry, we won't read the whole story, but the phrase Moses' basket comes from the story of Moses' mother putting him in a basket and putting her in the Nile River. And then Exodus 2:22, am I starting over? Yes, Jim. And Exodus 3:2, Howard. And Exodus 3:4, Philip. Exodus 3:8, Roy, and Exodus 4:21, Mark. So we'll stop there. Brother Scott, Exodus 2:22.
And she bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land.
a stranger in a strange land. One of those common phrases. Actually, that was the meaning of the name Gershom. And then Exodus 3:2, Howard.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire as the middle of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burnt with fire, and the bush was not consumed.
So the phrase burning bush comes from the Bible. God had the burning bush when he called Moses. And then 3:4, Philip. The call of God. It's not specifically in the verse, but it comes from this passage where God called Moses to save his people out of Egypt. And then Exodus 3:8, Roy. Land of milk and honey. The land flowing with milk and honey. However you want to say it, but a very common phrase. Where did it come from? The Bible. It was God's description of the promised land. The land of milk and honey, the land flowing with milk and honey. And 4:21, did I give that one out, Mark?
And the Lord said unto Moses, and thou goest return unto Egypt. See that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thy hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let people go.
Harden his heart. We've all heard it before. He's hardened his heart. Where did it come from? It came from the Bible. God said he would harden Pharaoh's heart. All right, 4:27, James. And 5:1, Kelvin. 5:7, Brad. We'll stop there. So, James, 4:27.
And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mount of God and kissed him.
Into the wilderness. Again, a phrase that we've all heard used before. Into the wilderness. And then 5:1.
And upward Moses and Aaron went in and called Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold their peace unto me in the wilderness.
Let my people go. That's been used in many, many conflicts around the world. Let my people go. 5:7. Making bricks without straw, another common phrase. The next one, we'll just share the section. But has anybody ever heard the phrase of biblical proportions? What do they mean when they say that? They're talking about the 10 plagues of Egypt, which are chapter 7 through 11 of Exodus. God, through Moses, performed those 10 plagues. And when people say of biblical proportions, they're either referring to a major disaster or a major plague. That's of biblical proportions. In other words, it's as big as what happened when Moses took his people out of Egypt. That's just up through the first part of Exodus. But that's a good place to start. So thoughts, questions, observations before we close. Like I say, very different study.